You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. So it's my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my need. Don't have to beg because I am a thief. Cause every good and perfect gift comes from the Father who I... Well, good evening. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Lifeline broadcast. I am Apostle Shirley Jones, the senior pastor of Rehoboth Family Life Center, and the host of this broadcast. I just want to thank you so much for joining me tonight. To God be all the glory. And as always, I am so honored and glad to be a part of this network, When Christians Speak Talk Radio Show. This is a network that's doing such an awesome, awesome work of kingdom building throughout the world. And they're actually celebrating its ninth year. And, you know, we are in a time where the gospel must be preached to give hope and encouragement. So I pray that the work of this network goes even further in doing kingdom building in 2022 and beyond. To God be the glory. Amen and amen. But before I get into the word tonight, I want to extend an invitation to everyone to join us on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time for Rehoboth Family Life Center's worship service via Facebook Live for one more Sunday, and then we're welcoming folks back to the building on Resurrection Sunday, and I'm so excited to be able to get back to our service. I won't even say back because we're going in to go forward. Let me say that. But invite your family and friends to join in with you. This is such a awesome time to evangelize and share the good news of the gospel. Also, join us for our Bible study, which is Tuesday night at 8 o'clock p.m. On Zoom audio. And this year, I'm excited about that because we're doing something a little bit different. The theme this year for our Tuesday night Bible study is Exploring the Bible. And we're actually going from Genesis to Revelation. And so you can go to our church Facebook page to get the information to connect to us on Tuesday night. Amen? Amen. Well, I'm going to go ahead and open this up in prayer, and then I'm going to go ahead and jump into the word for tonight. So, Father God, we just bless you, God, and we honor you, Lord God, and we give you praise, and we give you thanksgiving, God, and we give you glory. God, we thank you that you're God, and besides thee, there is none other. Father, we thank you that there is nothing too hard for you, that, Father, that you're able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, and there is no failure in you. So I pray tonight, Lord God, that you would give your people a listening ear. I pray that, God, that we not just be hearers, but we shall be doers as well. I pray that, Father God, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And, Father, I will say that it was you, because it's always you. It's none of me, but all of you. I pray tonight, Lord God, speak that your people may be blessed. Speak that your people may be healed. Speak that your people may be delivered and set free. And know that everything going to be all right. So, Father, we bless you tonight. We honor you and we adore you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Well, I'm going to continue the message that I started last month. I did part one, and I said that I would be doing part two this month. And the title of the message is God Is and I Am. If you recall last month, for those of you that were with us, I said that, you know, the enemy really don't care if we go to church. He don't care if we go to church. Just do not become the church. Not for us to become a living epistle, to have an intimate relationship with God and allow purpose and destiny to become operative in our lives. You know, there are things that hinder that from happening. So I want to continue in the vein tonight to reveal the truth of the matter through the word of God that liberates and gives us freedom that we can experience in him. Why? It's because we got work to do, y'all. We got work to do. So we have to get to the place that all the misconceptions and all the lies and all the things that we believe and the enemy is telling us, and even we believe ourselves. But if you get into the Word, that's why I'm so excited about the hope of getting into the Word again on another level, because how can you expand or stand and experience the Word unless you know the Word? And so that's what we're going to do. Last month, we talked about the fact that God is and I am. We said God is a forgiving God, and therefore I am forgiven. And that's the place that the enemy always tries to work us over time with. It's like, look at you. How could God love you? How could God use you? All the stuff that you have done. And then we start listening to that stuff like, yeah, I did do this, and I was doing that. And then he'll send people to remind you, girl, remember when we used to? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you'd be like, yeah, but maybe God can't. And that's the trick of the enemy. And that's one of the lies that we unraveled last month. But God is a forgiving God. And that when we come to him and we ask for forgiveness, that he forgives us. But not only does he forgive us, he embraces us. Oh, hallelujah. He embraces us and calls us and pulls us to himself so that we can be all that he's called us to be. So tonight I want to continue in that vein. We want to talk about what God is, and because he is, I am. One of the other things that we talked about last week, I was just thinking about it, that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind, and we are recipients of that. So any time that we feel like we're fearful, and fear will always show up. But when we understand what the Word tells us, that God has not given, that's not from God, that I don't have to embrace that. I don't have to stay there. It's going to show up, but that doesn't mean that I have to accept it, that I can speak to it and say, but this is not from God, because he has given me power, love, and a sound mind, and I am recipient of that thing. So I don't have to stay in fear, walk in fear, believe the fear, believe the lie, believe the doubt, but I can say, but I am a recipient. I am a recipient of his power, his love, and a sound mind. So we're going to continue in that vein tonight. We want to talk about that those things that try to get in the way of us becoming all that God has called us to be. Remember, God is and I am. You know, one of the things that we have to remember is that God is strategic, and because God is strategic, obedient. God is strategic, and I am obedient. You know, we do ourselves, you've heard me say this probably many times, we do ourselves such a disservice when we're trying to orchestrate our life in the kingdom. You know, a king knows, hear me now, a king knows everything about his territory and the surrounding areas, and he puts things in place to protect and prosper his territory. Well, the King of Kings, hallelujah, yay, and the Lord of Lords, the Almighty God, he knows all things and can do even what appears to be impossible. We in ourselves can never do it like God. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Every king protects his territory. He looks after it. He puts things in position. And because we belong to him, he protects us and he keeps us. He is a strategic God. Over in the book of Isaiah 55, verses 8 to 11, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be, O glory, that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." He is a strategic God. He wants us to get to a place that we're getting out of our head, trying to understand it and not not obeying it until we do. But God says, I don't do it like you do it. I don't think like you think. I don't act like you act, because I'm God, and I know more than you know, and I can see beyond the present moment. I can see from here to eternity. I can see your end at your very beginning. And so you have to understand that when you give your life over to me, let me do it. Let me lead you and let me guide you. The Bible tells us also in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. God wants us to know that we can't do it like he can do it. But if we trust him and believe him, that we will follow his lead and allow him to lead us in the things that he has for us. Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eye. Oh, glory to God. That he wants us to trust him so that he can lead us and he can guide us. There are so many things that God has for us. Prime example, not to get into our heads. I went out and I purchased a chair Friday. I needed a chair, another chair for my, a different type of chair for my bedroom. So I went out on Friday. I knew where I was supposed to go. I went to the store and I got the chair that I wanted. And they had to have another company to deliver it for me. Well, when I called the company, they asked me about the size of the chair, and the salesperson was standing there with me, and they asked me, well, is it a big chair? Is it a small chair? I said, well, it's not that a big chair. It's a chair for my bedroom. And so the salesperson said, oh, tell them you only need one person to carry the chair. And so I said, well, the salesperson is saying that it's only one person that's needed because it's less than 50 pounds. And then she was talking to me in the meantime. She was like, because I move these chairs around. I carry a chair, you know, this chair. And so one person, a man, should be able to carry the chair. So I said, okay, well, you know, one person. And so they said, okay, we'll send one person to pick it up from the store and take it to your house. Do you have steps? I said, yes, they have to go two levels. They'll come in on the bottom level, but they have to go up to the third level to take the chair. So she says, okay, well, we'll still say, you know, they're professional. They can do it. So it just didn't sit right with me, because the way my steps are, they curve. When you get to the first landing, they curve. You get to the second landing, they're curved. And the chair, it didn't look real heavy, but it looked like it would be awkward to carry up the steps with one person. So I called back and I said, well, you know, maybe I'll just have two people. So she says, well, you know, no, I really think you'll be fine with the one person. It'll be fine. I was like, you sure? She said, yeah, we're professionals, and we do this all the time, and I'm quite sure you only need one person. I'm like, oh, okay, so I went with it. Well, today was where they were supposed to come and deliver the chair. The guy calls me. He says, I can't carry this chair by myself up no steps. I was like, okay, so what we going to do? He said, well, I'm going to call the dispatcher and let them know that needs to have two people to do it. And so they did that, and they were able to get another dispatcher with two people to come out. And these guys, they were struggling getting that chair up the steps. It wasn't that it was that it was heavy, but it was awkward, because you got to go up steps, a lot of steps in my house, plus the steps curved. But I say this, and I said to myself, I said, I should have went what was in my spirit, that I kept saying, I don't think one person will be able to do that. And sure enough, when that man called me, I said, see, I should have listened to what was in my spirit. But bless God that he was still able to, I'm still able to get the chair delivered. So that's what I'm saying. We got to listen to the spirit that's within us. We serve a strategic God. If God let me know that, you know how those steps are. You know it curves. Come on now. You know. Look at the picture. But I didn't. I listened to the people. I listened to the girl. And I told the guy, I said, they told me that one person, he said, I don't know who told you that. He said, you see, we struggling past the curve. worked out because they were able to deliver it and they were able to get it up the steps. But God says, he says that when we acknowledge him, he shall direct our path and lead us in everything. You know, I always stand in awe of how God orchestrates victory through the word in ways that baffle man, and we can never come up with it on our own best day on our smart self. And in the word, you see how God brings about victory in ways that we could never do it on our best day with our smart self. And so that's what we're gonna look at right now. We're gonna look at the situations where we see where God was strategic and he worked that thing out, and man could have never done it like God did it. You know, he looks to show us ways strategically in our lives to experience the greater of what and who we are called to be and to do. So come on, let's look at a few situations. Joshua, in the book of Joshua, this is chapter 6, verse 18. And this is where now Moses is dead, and Joshua now is in charge of the people. And this is where God is telling them how to maneuver in Jericho. And this is what he says to Joshua, "And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourself accursed. When you take up the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it." Right here. See, God will give us instructions, y'all, but we've got to be able to believe what God says and be obedient. So this is what happened. Now, God told them, don't take none of the accursed things, because if you take the accursed thing, you're going to bring a curse to Israel. Well, in Joshua chapter 7, what happens is they go in there, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmel, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, he took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. God knows us. God will give us instructions to keep us in a righteous mindset. He will, because he knows what we're capable of. You know, you think about it, in our flesh there dwells no good thing. And when God gives specific instructions, he already knows that we just may do that thing. And he'd be like, don't go over there. Don't do that. Don't say that. Don't be with them people. Don't be in that relationship. Don't take that job. Don't do any of that. But here, God had told them, don't touch the accursed thing. And what happens is Achan, he goes in and he takes some of the accursed thing. Now we're in Joshua chapter 7. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai. Now, they've taken care of Jericho. Remember, they went in and the wall fell down, and they went in and they were able to destroy everything. But now they come to another area called Ai. And it says, and Joshua sent from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Haven on the east side of Bethel. And he spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai, and they returned to Joshua, and they said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor. They are but few. So they went up of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even until Shibarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and he put dust upon their heads. Now, hear me now. Remember, in Jericho, God told them, do not take of the accursed thing. But Achan goes in, and he touches, and he takes the accursed thing. So now they come to another area that it looks like they should have been able to go in and easily overturn these people, because he sent some men. He said, go out and check it out. They told him, well, you know, it ain't a lot of them. We ain't got to send everybody. We can take these boys. But they go and they try to overturn them, and what happens is the men of Ai put them on the run. Because why? Because they were not listening to God. There was something that's going on. See, we got to understand when we are disobedient, God will step back sometimes and say, No, I can't bless that because you're not in the place in which I said for you to be. So now Joshua's thinking like, okay, what happened? You told me that we can really go in and we can take these boys. But they got us on the run and they killed some of us. What happened? So he gets before God. And this is what happened in Joshua chapter 7. It said, and Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw the spoils, a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them, and I took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver underneath it. Here was Achan. Achan got a greedy eye. You remember, they told him, don't touch their stuff. Don't touch their stuff. But he saw the stuff that looked good. And he's like, he knew it was wrong because if he didn't think it was wrong, he wouldn't have hit it. But he took it and he hid it in his camp. Oh, glory to God. So now they understand that this is where the curse is. There's a curse in the camp because somebody did something that God told them not to do. Because why? He is teaching God. And we need to be obedient. So now, over in Joshua chapter 8, and the Lord said unto Joshua, he says, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, and go up to Ai. I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. Now because they have discovered where the curse was, they had to get rid of Achan because of what he did. Now the curse is out of Israel. So now God says, now I can bless you. So what God tells Joshua, now go back. Now go back, and I'm going to give you the city. He says, don't be afraid of the people, because now that you're in compliance with what I told you, then you are going to be able to come against the people. And what I loved about God is what he tells Joshua, he gives him a strategy of what to do. He told us to go in. He said, send some people towards us. He said, but have some of them go in the back. Go in the back row. Get behind the city. He said, so what's going to happen is when they see us, because they were able to have us on the run, oh, glory, the first time, they figured that they're going to have us on the run the second time. So what they do is they go, and the men of Ai see them, and they start to come out against them. And it says, and all the people that are with me, I will approach into the city, and it shall come to pass when they come out against us, as the first, we will flee before them. This was strategic with God. God said, go before them like he did the first time, and we're going to flee, and we're going to run. We're going to run away, and they're going to have and make them think that we're on the run. And what it did was it pulled them out of the city. And all the men came out of the city, and they began to chase the Israelites. But when they came out far enough, the men that were behind, oh, glory, the city, they went behind them, and they set it on fire. Oh, glory. But by that time, all the men of Ai had left. And what they did, which they should never have done, they said there was not a man left in Ai or Bethel that went not after Israel, and they left the city open, and they pursued after Israel. Oh, and God knew that they would. He knew that they would, because they figured, you know, we got them. We got them the first time. We ain't got to protect the city. We're going to leave. Never leave your stuff uncovered like that. They left everybody. All the men were gone out of the city. So they got behind the city, and they burnt. But by the time they looked and they saw that the city was on fire, they couldn't go back because there was a fire. And now the men of Israel took over them because there was nowhere for them to run. Oh, glory to God. We're talking about a strategic God. And he told them at this point, he said, only the cattle and the spoils of that city Israel take for a prey unto themselves, according to the word of the Lord, which he commanded Joshua. And Joshua burnt Ai and made it a heap forever, even a desolation until this very day. Oh, come on now. We're talking about God has ways of giving us victory, y'all. He knows. He knows how to do stuff. He told them exactly what to do, but they had to get the accursed thing out the camp. See, we got, once our obedience is fulfilled, once we do it the way God says do it, then God will give us the victory. One thing that you need to learn from the men of Ai, you never leave your stuff totally uncovered like that, because they were confident. Oh, we got this. We had these boys running the first time. We're going to have them running again. But not so. They saw Israel, but they didn't see the God that had given Israel the strategy of how to win the battle. And that's what we have to be concerned about, that people may see you, but do they see the God that's in you? Oh, glory. Do they see the God that's leading you and guiding you? You may see me, but do you see the God? Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. That you may see me and I look like just Shirley from Philly, but do you see the God that I'm serving? Oh, do you understand that I'm listening for his voice? Huh? I'm listening for his instructions, and I'm trying to be obedient as much as I know how, because I understand that when I am obedient, God will fight my battle for me. Oh, God will give me the victory. So we have to remember that God indeed is strategic, and we have to be obedient. Oh, glory. Let's look at somebody else. Remember, Saul. Saul was Saul, and then he became Paul. Remember, he was on the road to Damascus, and he had an encounter, and he said, Lord, and he was knocked off his donkey, and he was blind, and they had to lead him into the city. And now strategic God begins to orchestrate him from going from Saul to Paul. This is in Acts chapter 9, verse 10. It says, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and have seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he may receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou may receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. And straightway, oh glory, straightway, he preached Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. Now this was the same Saul that was killing Christians. But when God got a hold to him, oh glory, but what I loved about it was here was now Saul was praying. Didn't understand what was all going on, but he was praying that he would get his sight back. But while he was praying over here, that God was speaking to the man that he was going to use to touch him so he can get his sight and now be used by God. God has your life of glory. God will begin to put your name. You don't know. You don't know who God has given your name to that will help you in your next process to be what God has called you to be. I heard God say the other day, but I'm putting your name in the atmosphere, and those that are supposed to be attached to you, those that are supposed to be opening up doors for you to give you opportunities to work in your gift. name because I put it out to those, and those who are responsible will hear your name, will receive your name, and they will open up doors for you. While you're going through, God has somebody over here praying for you that you may not even know. I have dreams that I was telling somebody the other day. I woke up last week and I heard the name. This person's name was a female name, and I don't know anybody by that name. And I thought I had a cousin that had a name that was similar to that, and I called my cousin and asked, I said, what is so-and-so's name? And she said, no, that's not her name. I said, well, I don't know who this person is, but I've learned that when I hear a name of somebody I don't know, that I just begin to intercede for that person. Now, just like Paul or Saul was praying, God was talking to Ananias over here and telling him when to go and what to do. There are people that God will line up in the spirit. Oh, hear me now. Hear me now. God will have somebody praying for you that don't even know you. You don't know where your blessings are coming from. But because we serve a strategic God, I look at my life that God had people in position. So when I left Philadelphia to come to this area, God had people in position that I encountered to help me get to the place where I sit today. Oh, glory. People I didn't know. But God knew that they would be instrumental in my life. And that's what God would do. Because why? He is a strategic God. And we got to understand that the things that God does is so contrary sometimes to how we think it's going to be. And I shared with you guys before that when I had my last book signing, here I am in a dress store. I'm in a dress store walking around, you know, I always go over there to the loft and, you know, I buy some things. I knew the manager. And I'm leaving out, and I hear book signing in my spirit. I shared this before. I hear book signing. I'm like, book signing? I'm looking around the store. I'm like saying to myself, this is a dress store. I ain't never seen them do no book signing in here. I'm saying this in my head to the door. I hear it again, book signing. So I was like, okay, let me go back. Let me go back. I go back to the manager, and I said, hey. I said, do you guys ever have events here, like books? She says, you know what? We have events sometimes, but we've never had a book sign. She said, that would be exciting to have a book sign. She says, are you an author? I said, yeah, just authored another book. And I said, I would love to have a book signing here if possible. She says, yeah. She said, let's do it. When do you want to do it? And it just so happens that it was going to be around my birthday. She said, oh, that's even better. She says, what I will do is you send me the emails. I will send out the e-bikes. I will have refreshments, and you can set up a space in the store, and you can sell your books. Oh, glory to God. So in a bookstore, in a clothing store, we had a book signing. She supplied the refreshments, and there even was a raffle where one of our members, she won a leather jacket, and the women were shopping. So everybody was a win-win. I paid nothing to have it there. And I forgot how many books. We might have sold about 50 books that day at the dress store. Now, what if I had I just kept on walking? But I, even though my head kicked in at first, but I ain't crazy. I'm like, I know I heard God. Let me go back. Let me get out of my head. And even though we had it at an art gallery, we had refreshments. One of our members, she put together a nice little spread, and we had music, and there were art, black art that was around the place, and it was just a wonderful book signing. I'm talking about what God will do. See, God is strategic, and he takes us out of the ordinary realms, and that's what I keep hearing, that because he's a unique God, that God is going to open up some unique opportunities for us. It's not going to look ordinary. God's going to put you in some places that may look strange, may seem strange, but it's going to produce something that you could never have produced on your own. A book signing in a woman's store, clothing store. Who does that? But the strategic God knew that this was the place that I needed to be. We got to be obedient, because when we're not obedient, we always lose something. I hope you heard that one. God is strategic, and we have to be obedient. And when we are not obedient, we always lose something. We always lose something. Over in 1 Samuel chapter 15, And this is where Samuel saw, because he didn't do what God told him to do. And he said, and Samuel says, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected thee from being king. You know, this is when Saul listened to the people. He listened to the people, and he started doing stuff he wasn't supposed to do. He did not follow the instructions. So now he loses the kingship because he didn't do what he was told to do. You know, a lot of times we'll say, well, you know, I just always was like that. I was always just do what I do. But the Bible says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Oh, come on now. That ain't cute when we walking around. Well, I'm just always like this. Okay, but when you going to change? Don't tell me that God can't change us. What would be the purpose of Jesus Christ if he don't change us? But we got to allow him to change us. When we're not obedient, we are going to lose something. Something, and some things you will never recover. Hear me now. Some things you will never recover. Got to be obedient to what God calls for our life. Well, God also, come on now. God is faithful, and I am blessed. God is faithful, and I am blessed. Faithful. What's the definition of faithful? Y'all know I like words. Faithful. True to one's words, promises, and vows. Loyal, constant, reliable, trusted, believe. That's our God. One thing about God being faithful is not that he does what we want him to do, but what he said he will do and what is best for us. You know, think about this. How many times has he not done what you wanted and you later realize that you are so glad that he didn't, when you see what it would be like had he did so? That job that you just wanted, that relationship that you just wanted, that move, that house, then the greatest shows up. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Whenever God says no, whenever he says no, it's because he understands the intricate workings of that thing. And he says, I do not want you involved in that because I have something greater for you. So let's not get mad with God when God says no. You don't need that relationship. You don't need to make that move. You don't need to buy that house. You don't need to take that job, because God is saying, but I have something bigger for you. I've seen God do this too many times when he said no, but the greater showed up. Oh, glory. So know that when he says no, it's not because he doesn't love you. He doesn't want to give you the best. That's just it. He wants to give you the best, and his no is attached to something that's inferior to what he has for you. So accept the no, stay in position, and so till the greater comes. Because why? He is a faithful God. 1 Corinthians, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. He will do exactly what he said he's going to do. We can trust him. God is constant. His promises are yea and amen, and that we can believe what he says. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, but the Lord is faithful, who bless you and keep you from evil. And that's why we have to trust him and know that he's faithful and that we are blessed. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for all the promises of him, of God in him, are yea, in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. And Jeremiah 30:22 says, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Oh, glory, that we shall be his people, and he shall be our God. That means he will take care of us. He will look after us. He will watch over us. He will have the best for us, that he will lead us, and he will guide us into all truth. And he promised us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Think about this. Think about this personally. Take stock of the faithfulness of God in your life. Even when we were out of fellowship with him, he watched over us and he navigated life plans to produce his purpose in our lives. Hallelujah. When Jesus went to the cross, he didn't wait until we got it together, y'all. He didn't wait until we were righteous and holy and were saying the right things. We were a mess. But he calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He calls and he redeems us. And Jesus gave his life. He took on him all that we would ever go through. And then he said, it is finished. Oh, glory. So everything that we've gone through, that we go to God and ask for forgiveness and we repent. And let me say this. I shared this last week with the church. Repentance. Repentance is not just say, God, I'm sorry, and then next week we're right back to it. Repentance is saying, forgive me, and then I turn. And when I turn, the mercy of God, hallelujah, and the grace of God meets me and helps me to move forward in the way in which God is calling. So I can't say, forgive me, and then I go back to it next week. No, if I turn, even when it's hard, because I've turned some places, and it was hard, but when I turn, and I said, I'm not going back to that God. Give me grace not to look back, go back, do back. But when I turn, and it's like he grabs my hand, and he says, come on, we're going to go the rest of the way. Grace and mercy will take me the rest of the way. So we've got to get to that place that knowing that he is faithful, and he's merciful, and he's kind. We said that God is faithful, and we are blessed. Means that we are divinely or supremely favored, just blessed, not according to our circumstances or our situations, but because of the God that loves us. Because Romans 8:28 tells us, and we know that all things, yea, God, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. We are blessed and highly favored of the Almighty God. Remember when Mary was visited by the angel, and the angel, this is in Luke chapter 1, 28, and the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. When God's hand is on our lives, y'all, that we are favored, we are blessed, and God will open up doors and avenues for us and opportunities. I heard weeks ago that there is an open heaven and the very universe that is at your and that you have privy to. Oh, hear me now. When the favor of God is upon your life, when you are obeying him and following him, everything that he has, you are privy to that. You are privy to the things that God has when we follow him, and when we are obedient to him, and when we do what he asks us to do. All you got to think about, think about, and take stock of how the favor of God has is upon your life, and it's cost you to be blessed. Some of us are in jobs that you didn't even want. I know the last job I had, I didn't even want that job. I didn't want the job. I wanted another job that I thought was more of what I wanted to do. But here, God shut that door, opened this door, I get the job, and that job afforded me all the benefits of what I thought I would have gotten in the other job and saw. Oh, glory to God. The favor of God, the blessings of God, even when I didn't even want the job, but the job was nothing but a blessing once I got in the job. There's favor upon your life now. You just got to let God do it. You can't do it like God. You know, I just want that. But no, if God says no, it's because he has something better for you. We don't want to be like the Israelites and wander. They wandered for 40 years because they murmured and they complained and they forgot every time that God would do something for them. They forgot that there was favor upon their lives. They forgot how faithful God was. Let's not forget, y'all, how faithful God has been to us. Let us not forget that there is favor upon our lives. Let's hold on to it. Come on, look at this. We've been in this pandemic. The pandemic still ain't over. Things have been lifted, but it ain't over. And it's been what? Now we're entering the third year. But we're still here. It has not been easy, but we're still here. The favor of God. the blessings of God. Let's not forget. Let's stop, don't murmur and complain about this and that, but be grateful for the things that you do see and the things that you do have. Oh, glory to God. We have to get to a place also that during this time that we're not vacillating back and forth. See, this is not the season to vacillate back and forth. We got to know that we know that we know that we know that we know that he is who, that he is God Almighty all by himself. This is not the time to wonder if he going to do it, if he not going to do it. Because the Bible says in James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let's not go back and forth, y'all. Let's plan our feet and say, regardless of what it looked like, regardless of how long it's been, I am going to believe the Almighty God, that he is faithful, that he's strategic, that I am blessed, that the favor is God is upon my life, and God is doing things for me that I could never do for myself. Oh, glory to God. Over in Isaiah 54, and I believe that this is where we are, it says, to enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. It says, spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes, for thy shall break forth on the right hand and on the left. Now, this text is referring to the church. This text is about the church, how the church is going to grow in the workings of Jesus Christ. But in a practical sense, come on now, listen to me. In a practical sense, in our next, we're going to have to enlarge our mindset of who we are and whose we are and what we are called to do. We have to be ready to do things differently, but more than enough, we must stay connected to the one that knows and has our expected end, purpose, that is bigger than who and where we are now. You will not be able to contain or move in it unless you allow the process to be the process to prepare you for it. Oh, glory. I feel that thing so that we're in a dispensation of time where God is going to move us in higher heights and deeper depths as we are seeking him out, as we are staying before him. You're going to be able to move in unique places and unique giftings that's on your life that it's not going to be like it was, but you got to change your mindset. Your mindset has got to be enlarged to be able to carry the things that God is about to do in your life. You got to be able to proclaim truly, truly, oh, glory. Psalm 139 says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thy eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. I shall count them. They are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Oh, glory. See, that's got to be our stance, y'all. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works towards me. Come on now. God is about to do some things in the earth, but we've got to be in position to be able to understand who he is and what he's doing. But how do we understand that? By staying in his face, by staying in prayer, staying before him, staying connected, enlarging your mindset, you know, not vacillating back and forth. Well, I don't know, and maybe he will. Maybe, no, if he said he's going to do it, he's going to do it. I don't care what it look like. He is a teaching God. Stop allowing your circumstances to dictate to you, but allow the Spirit of God that's within you. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Allow, stop looking at what it looked like and trust the promises of God. Let us not take, and this is what he told me, he said, let us not take the gifting and the purposes of God for granted, nor waste it. Let us pray that the obstacles be moved as we stand on the word, his instructions and promise. The more of God awaits you, and the world needs you. Declare with me today, I can, and I will, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, I need you guys, wherever you are. If you on the broadcast with me this morning, I need us to declare that this morning, this tonight. Let's declare that together. Matter of fact, I have a T-shirt. We have T-shirts at church that says this. I can. Come on, say it with me. I can't hear you, but say it with me. Say it with me. I can, and I will, in Jesus' name. Oh, glory. See, that's got to be your mantra, your mantra. You got to say, you got your motto even. That's maybe even a better word. Saying that I can, and I will. Why? Because God said so. God's hands on my life. God has promised me. God said he's going to do it. If he said he's going to do it, then I can, and I will. Because he never leaves me, nor will he ever forsake me. And I shall be, oh glory, what God has called me to be from this day forward in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God is and I am. I am everything that he say I am. I shall be everything that he said I'd be. I shall do everything that he said I should do. Look for it, y'all. Look for it. In the upcoming days, in the upcoming weeks, in the upcoming months, look for it. Look for it. Look for something to be different. Look for it being greater than you. Look for it being unique. Look for it being like having a book signing at a woman's clothing store. Out of the ordinary. Because it's the God that we serve. I believe he's gonna take us in and out of things and out of places, y'all, that won't look familiar. It won't look ordinary. It'll be supernatural. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Taking us in and out of places, doing great things where we'll actually be able to get under the radar of the enemy. Because God's going to take us into some places, y'all. There's some places that the enemy does not expect for us to go in. But I can, and I will. Because God says so. Oh, hallelujah. And when that happens, y'all, send me an email or text or something and say, Apostle, what you said? You know, I'm doing it. I never thought I'd do this like this. But God said, widen and change your mindset and be ready for the unusual things that God has for you. So, Father, we bless you tonight, and we honor you, Lord God, and we give you praise, and we give you thanksgiving, God, and we give you glory. God, we thank you for your loving kindness, God. We thank you that indeed, God, you are strategic, God. You're strategic, God. And we're obedient, God. Help us to be obedient, God. Help us not to stay in our head, God, but to get out of our head, God, and allow our spirit, man, to dictate to us, God, what we need to do, God, and what we need to be. God, we thank you tonight, God, and we bless you, God, for the open door. God, for the open opportunities, God, for the unusualness of your blessing, God. Hey, you're God. Yeah, God, if we can do it ourselves, what would be the purpose of Jesus? So it tells me, God, that there are things that you will do and take us in, God, that miracles and supernatural and unordinary, God. Oh, we thank you. I pray that you would bless these, your people, tonight. I pray that they will have received this word. And more than anything, God, that they're pressed into you, oh God, no longer vacillating, no longer worried, no longer fearful, no longer doubtful, but saying, I'm going to trust the strategic God. He's strategic, and I'm obedient to what he says and what he does in Jesus' name. I pray blessings upon each person tonight. I pray blessings upon their families. I pray that there be no lack in their life. I pray that there be any sickness among us tonight, that God, that your hand of healing, Jehovah Rapha, your God of healing, will be upon them tonight, their families tonight, their children tonight, God, in the land tonight, oh God, even in foreign countries, God, let your hand be seen, God, even now the more. We bless you and we honor you in Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And if you're with me on the broadcast tonight, if you've never asked Jesus Christ to just to come and just take your life where you no longer have to do it yourself because you can't, but you want your life to change. You want your family to change. You want to be a better person. You want to be in purpose and destiny. You want to leave the earth and you have not done your assignment or your mandate. Oh, glory. So I pray that you would just pray this with me tonight and say this with me, that I ask for forgiveness that I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and I believe that Jesus died for me. And because of that, I can have life, and my life can be different. I may not understand it all, but I know that you'll teach me and you'll show me. And for that, I'm grateful tonight. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So if you prayed that with me tonight, I ask that you would just send me you can send me an email. That's apostlesjones@rehobothslc.org. And just let me know that it was you so that I can send you some information to help you on your journey. And be blessed and be blessed. So I just bless God tonight that you guys came and hung out with me tonight, and join me again next month. Let somebody else know just where we be on the first Monday of every month at 7 o'clock. And I pray that the Lord bless you and protect you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look with favor on you and give you peace. Love you guys. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Don't forget Facebook Live on Sunday, 10 o'clock. Resurrection Sunday, we're back in the building. Keep us in prayer. I want everybody to know that we have put things in place to protect you for a safe environment at the sanctuary. Masks are required to come into the building because we're inside space. But we have seating, that's social distancing. We have touchless things in the bathroom. And there's air filters at the school. Has installed, and so we think we're in pretty good shape, but more than anything, we're praying. We're praying that God would keep everyone that walks through that door as long as we do our part. So God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your evening, and remember that God is and I am. Remember that God is and I am. I can, and I will be all that God has called me to be. Love you guys. Be blessed. Love you guys.
Praise the Lord, everyone. I want to thank you for listening to When Christians Speak Talk Radio. This is just a reminder. Here's Abounding Grace with Minister Vanessa Williams. It's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Declaring the Finished Work with Pastor Pat Randall is every Thursday at 12 noon. Friday Night Joy with Pastor Ray is the first, the second, and the fourth Fridays at 7 p.m. The Bread of Life with Pastor Ray is the first and the third Sundays at 7 p.m. Challenge to Change with Pastor Paul Morgan is every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Our monthly broadcasts are as follows. Lifeline with Apostle Shirley Jones is every first Monday at 7 p.m. The Bold and the Beautiful with Reverend Noreena Reed, Reverend Curtis Austin, and Minister Jordana Cunningham is every second Saturday at 10 a.m. Adoration with Evangelist Louis McEwen is every third Monday of the month at 7 p.m. Marriage Takeover, The Body of One with Pastor Eric and Pastor Tamika Thompson is every fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. Hour 3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk with Ray Rose, Antonio Mitchell, Tyrone Rose, Clea Fitz Malone, and Esther Green is every second Sunday at 7 p.m. Our weekly prayer is called Midday Glory Prayer with Reverend Gwen Dixon. It's every Wednesday at 1 p.m. This is a free conference call number. The number is 712-770-5505. The SS code is 732-499. Amen. Also, I want to remind you of Matters of the Heart Singles Ministry broadcast. We broadcast every third Friday at 7 p.m. Our hosts are Renee Malone, Ray Rose, Hope Williams, Robert Waring, Maggie Wilson, and Felicia Shears. We're excited about this group of people, our singers coming together and speak and say what thus says the Lord. We also have the more newest broadcast called Spiritual Nuggets of Truth, and that would air on the second and the fourth Monday of the month at 8 p.m. is led by Minister Carmen A. Booker. And we appreciate her coming on and being new to the family. Amen. We want to encourage you to go and check out our website of When Christians Speak Talk Radio. And on that you can find a little bit more about the different hosts and a little bit more about what we got going on, some of the previous broadcasts and platforms that you use. Also, you will be able, if you would like to sow a seed or a donation into the ministry, you can do that now by clicking on Donate Now. I thank you for your time, and again, I thank you for listening to When Christians Speak Talk Radio. God bless you.